Good evening. I hope you have your Bibles open that was read moments ago out of the book of Zechariah, chapter 11. Tonight I titled the lesson, Selling Your Soul. We're going to see why. In the book of Zechariah, and we're not going to go through the whole book or anything, just want two verses. God's people have not done what needs to be done with the Lord's temple, and they're serving toward Him, and they're in trouble. And Zechariah is a prophet, and he's coming through, and he's telling them why they're in trouble. And in these two verses, you recognize what the verses are saying. We do. They didn't. They didn't realize that it was having an effect on them at the moment and that it was going to have effect for the future. And so he tells them in verse 12 of chapter 11, I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages. But if not, never mind. So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that magnificent price at which I was valued by them. So I took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord. That magnificent price. 30 shekels of silver is not much. Here's Zechariah in their situation. Is speaking to the future too about the betrayal of Jesus. And knowing that and not having any knowledge of where it was headed, it was going to be 520 years before Jesus is born. And Zechariah speaks the words. It's going to be 550 years before it comes to pass. I want you to come over to Matthew chapter 26. And we'll pick up the 550 years later. In Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 14. Give a chance for you to get there. Matthew 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, What are you willing to give me to betray him to you? And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. The apostle. The hand-picked apostle. And he knew there was money to be made. And he was willing to make the money. And it's hard to believe. How could an apostle that walked with Jesus make such a deal in your life? What are you willing to give me to betray him? 30 pieces of silver. That's my value. Why did this mean so much to Judas? I want you to keep this mark. We're going to come right back here. Come over to John, if you would. John chapter 12. And I look at a little insight to Judas. In John chapter 12, there was a situation here with Jesus and Judas. Look at verse 3. It said, Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? I mean, what do you sound like? We sound like a man that's an apostle here. We sound like a man that cares about the Lord. We sound like the man, a man that is doing the bidding of God. And it sounds so noble and so right. And why haven't we sold this for all this money? And 300 denarii, that's a year's wages to those people. You could have got a year's wages and given it to the poor people. You know, it's so easy, brethren, to look religious. It's so easy to look like that you love and that you care. But inside, there is something else going on in your heart. Sometimes, the people of God are playing such a game that they're selling their soul. And they know they're selling their soul, but in order to soften the blow, in order to soften the way things look, they look religious. They look like they care. I mean, Judas looks that way. Look at verse 6. Now he said this, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. He was a thief. He knew he was a thief, and he covered it up. And you know how he covered it up? By acting like he's spiritual. And God knew it 550 years earlier, and he spoke it through Zechariah. And Judas has no awareness. I mean, brethren, he is zilch. He knows nothing about where this thing is headed. All he knows is that he was taking money out of the money box. It meant a year's wages into that money box. If we could have got you to give this money, you know, and put it in here, we'd give it to the poor. I'd have had a lot of money left over for me. Well, coming back to Matthew chapter 26, now he wants the money for Jesus. And he asked him, what are you willing? What are you willing, verse 15, to give me to betray him to you? And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver. Money was important to Judas. Verse 16. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. Are you in your right mind? What in the world is wrong with you? How can you set up your world like this? You know, like this. You're looking for an opportunity. You've got the money in your pocket. You know where his life was headed the whole time? It was headed away from the Lord. And Judas didn't realize how quickly it was headed that away. And so God states through Zechariah, it's going to happen. Jesus knew it was going to happen. Jesus even knew the night that he was betrayed. He told him, the one who dips his hand in the bowl with me, he's the one. Judas, you're the fella. Judas, I'm not the fella. We're doing all of this cover-up stuff. You know, and so you look around us today. I can think of a lot of opportunities, a lot of times people that they sell their souls out for many things. I've known a lot of people that try to look very spiritual. Oh, they can talk spiritual themes. They can talk about God. They can quote Scripture. They think they're okay. But you can see it happening. Slowly but surely, these attitudes creep in. Slowly but surely, practices that they have creep in. And they're headed for a disaster. And they don't see it coming. Judas is looking for that opportunity to do that. Well, if you move down to verse 45 of chapter 26, I want to move on forward just a little bit. Jesus has gone to the garden. He's prayed twice. He's come back twice, found his disciples sleeping. Now he goes away a third time, and he comes back, and they're sleeping again. Look at verse 45. He says, then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. This is serious times. And you know what, his disciples? They don't even know it. They're tired. The hour is at hand, he said, and the Son of Man is being betrayed. I mean, it's right here, and they don't even know where it's headed. They don't even understand that this is the hour. Jesus has been telling them all along. It's here. The hour is on top of us. Look at verse 46. Get up. Let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. The betrayer's here. Well, Jesus has told the disciples it was Judas. They still don't believe it. Jesus has told the disciples, he told Peter, before the night's out, you're going to deny me three times. Peter swore up and down it wasn't going to happen. Jesus is aware of everything, and people are selling their souls out. And Jesus knows it. And here's the time the betrayer's coming. And when you think about that, can you imagine what the disciples had to see when they look up and they see Judas walking up there? And does it strike any chord within them saying, you know, well, Jesus told us it was going to happen like that. Jesus said, that's the man. I wonder if there's any awareness. There is with Jesus. He said, the betrayer's at hand. He's right here. Look at verse 47. While he was still speaking, he hadn't even finished his recourse with them. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Can you imagine this crowd come walking up and Judas is leading the bunch? I mean, we've got a large multitude. They've got swords, they've got clubs, and you think, why would they have swords and clubs? You got to remember, Judas has been walking with Jesus 3.5 years. He's watched the miraculous things that Jesus has done in his presence. Judas knows Jesus has power. And in order to keep him from using that, we're going to bring a large crowd. We're going to bring clubs. We're going to bring swords. We're going to make it as difficult as we can for Jesus to resist. You see, he doesn't realize from a man that walks on water, from a man that feeds 5,000, from the man that feeds 4,000, from the man that can raise the dead, from a man that can heal the sick, from a man that can change water into wine, a man can do anything. And it doesn't even dawn on you that you think all these swords and clubs and all these people are going to stop him? But you see, when you sell out your soul, you don't realize what you're doing. You don't realize how ignorant you're acting in all this. And so they're trying to make it difficult for Jesus to resist. Verse 48. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. How far has Judas really gone and deteriorated spiritually? How far? I mean, I've got a sign for you. I want you to know that the fella, I'm going to give him a kiss. Judas has no awareness of what he's doing. And that's what happens to people that sell their souls. In fact, many times people are playing the game so well, they're not even aware they're selling their souls. Because they can't be honest. And so it always starts with a little bit here at first when you sell out. You know, maybe it's you know, I'll use something simple. Maybe it's missing that service. And that first time you miss service, you know you skip out for something. You feel kind of bad and kind of guilty. But you do it again. Don't feel quite as guilty. And then you skip out and you know you're skipping it. But you know what? I've got other things. And so the thing you do, you start drifting so far, it doesn't bother you anymore. In fact, you're bold enough that you're going to even claim why you did what you did. I mean, that's how it heads and that's how it moves. It's a little bit here and a little bit there. And it don't even know it's going to end up disastrous for you. Well, I can speak from experience when people sell their souls. You know what's amazing to me? And this, you mark down, I have never seen this fail. When people sell their souls and they leave the Lord, they'll leave His church and they will blame the people. And that's the way it happens. Because you've sold yourself out. It's always your fault. Don't you know that? You're the ones that are at fault. That's what they blame. That's how far the conscience moves. And that's how seared over you get. Because you sold out your soul way back there. And you're just waiting for the opportunity. And you're looking for the opportunity. And you'll betray it all with just a simple kiss. Just like they did. Goodbye. And it's your fault. Oh, that's what Judas is doing. Look again, verse 48. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he's the one, seize him." Immediately Judas went up to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you have come for." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. You know what? Zechariah knew it. 550 years earlier, Jesus knew it. Get on with it. We're here. You've sold your soul. You valued me at 30 pieces of silver. That's my value to you. Other people sell Jesus for a lot less than that. And Jesus being aware, you just get on with it, you know. And so whenever you go to that point, whenever you sell it out, and whenever you begin to go to that extreme, what is left? What are you going to do from that point? Where do you find yourself? Well, they arrest him and they take him off. Look over at chapter 27. Look at verse 3. Look at where Judas found himself. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. You know what? Judas never, ever thought about consequences. Think about that. What are you willing to give me? I am a thief, but I'm an apostle. I could work miracles. I walked with Jesus. I'm handpicked by Him. We play all of these games, and now He sold Jesus out. And now he realizes, he said that he saw that he had been condemned. I didn't think it would go this far. I didn't think that it would be this bad. And he felt remorse. He's hurting now. Judas never ever thought about where this thing is headed. And people that sell their souls, they don't ever think about where their life is headed. They don't see the slow drift. They don't see that one day they find themselves over here and they have betrayed the Lord themselves. I never would believe I'd find myself in that position. I've heard people say that over and over. Judas is the same way. And now it's too late. Look at verse 4. Saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." Well, he's confessed it. But you can't do anything with it. And he tells this to the chief priests and the elders. Now let me tell you something, brethren. Do you want a good picture of the world? The religious world. Religious folks that have sold their souls too. Look at verse 4 again. Saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to that yourself." You know what? When you sell your soul, and other people have sold their souls, and you need help from them, you know what they're going to tell you? You're on your own, buddy. You did our bidding. You did what we wanted you to do. You followed suit. You jumped in line. Now you feel remorse. Hey, that's up to you. That's not our business. That's your business. They don't care. I visited one time in a prison or to a jail. Went over to a young man. Got in all sorts of trouble. And he was a member of the church. And I remember sitting there talking to him. And he kept talking about his friends, you know, and how he'd made these friendships. And I asked him, where are they at now? How many of them are up here trying to do your bidding now? How many of them are there at your side, you know? And he kind of looked puzzled, and he got thinking about it. And I said, have any of them been up here to visit you? And he said, oh, no, they got records too. Yeah, you're on your own now. You're on your own. Judas is hurting. He finds himself in this deal all alone. And you know what he could have had? He could have had someone who cared for him. He could have had someone that comforted him. He could have had someone that could come to his aid. But he doesn't, because he betrayed that. He's already sold out. Look at verse 5. And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away and hanged himself. That verse always troubles me. And here's why. How can a person walk with Jesus for 3.5 years? And never get a message of hope, forgiveness, and comfort? And the only answer that you have is go hang yourself. I don't understand that, except this. It starts small things. And people sell their souls for these small things. And one day, everything that you've tried to arrange in your life and everything you've tried to put together comes crashing down, and you have no answers. Oh, you might know about the Bible verses, and someone might tell you that God will forgive you, but within your being, there is no faith in it. There is no trust in the Lord. The only thing you know is what you have done and who you are, and you know the kind of person you are, and you've sold out yourself. And therefore, you have nothing to draw from. And that's what Judas has found. He has nothing to draw from within his being. And the only thing he could do, go out and hang yourself. What a lonely, pathetic life for a man who had it all and could have it all. Look at verse 6. The chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury since it is the price of blood." Let's talk about spiritual darkness among religious. It can happen in a church. Guess what the scribes and Pharisees, guess what these rulers are talking about? Well, now it's not lawful, you know. We can't put the money into the temple treasury. Oh, by all means we can't do that. God forbid that. The treasury temple is holy, and that money is holy, and God's holy. This is God's money. This is blood money. We can't take blood money and mix it with the holy things of God. I mean, they're playing the same game. They sold it out too. But boy, guess what they're talking? They're talking like they're spiritual too. And these are the very ones who've delivered up Jesus, and they're going to crucify him, and they're going to get the Romans to do their bidding too.
They're going to talk the Romans into, you know, they'll deliver them up to Pilate. They're going to talk the Romans in, you crucify him. Yeah. That way we can go all the way around. We're innocent of all blood. We're sure going to be innocent putting money. Oh, well, we're talking good. Verse 7. And they conferred together, and with the money bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Potter's field. Potter's field, that's the field that all the broken pieces of pottery, that was the dump yard for it. That's why it's called Potter's Field. You know what Zechariah said? Yeah. They'd buy a potter's field. They'd take it to the potters. That's what's going to happen. And now they've taken this money. They've put it into potter's field. Look at verse 8. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. You know, at the writing of the book of Matthew, Matthew came 27 years. He wrote this book 27 years after Jesus had been killed. And Matthew, when he writes this, he says, guess what? Even to this day, it's been called the field of blood. You all know. They knew very well when Matthew writes this, that field of blood. Yeah, it was all spoken back there. It was all planned out. God knew ahead of time. Jesus knew ahead of time. The problem is, Judas didn't know ahead of time. The apostles didn't know ahead of time. The scribes didn't know ahead of time. The Pharisees didn't know ahead of time because they've sold their souls out. And they're not even aware. Well, look at verse 9. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel. And they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Jeremiah said it too. Not only Zechariah. In fact, if we went a little bit further, we won't have time to do it. Even David, through the psalm, speaks the very same thing. You see, you can even back it up to over 600 years before, and it's being spoken about. And so, you know what? God knew, Jesus knew that Judas was going to sell his soul. Yeah. And they even told him at the supper, you're the fella. And the Lord called him. Now let me ask you this tonight. If God and Jesus knew over 600 years before it happened, it would happen. Do you think God and Jesus knows about you and me right now? You ever thought about that? You ever wondered why in Revelation chapter 12 he talks about this book of life, that the names were recorded in the book of life from the foundation of the world? You know what God already knows? He knows who's going to make it and who's not. You know what God already knows about every one of us? Who sold out their souls to playing that game and the ones that are sincere trying? He knows what names are in that book. And for you and I to die separated from the Lord, what a horrible fate for each one of us. When, like Judas, we could have all the benefits of the Lord, and yet here we are at times. We want the benefits. We want the forgiveness. We want eternal life. Yet we're selling our souls for other things. And we're doing it just, we think we're going under the radar. Like the Lord doesn't know. And you know, here we have it. He's calling it over 600 years ahead of time. Oh, I know. No. I called it from the very beginning of creation. Who's going to make it and who's not? Because I know the choices man makes. Question is, am I going to be serious about selling my soul? Am I going to be serious and take hold of the benefits of God and never sell that out? Because He means everything. Come back to Matthew 16 and we'll close. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 16. And you got to remember back in Matthew 16, Judas is sitting there listening to every word Jesus says, but it doesn't mean anything. You can't penetrate people that are playing the game. I've learned that. You know what? I've learned that when people sell their souls, when people are playing that game with God, you can sit here and you can preach your heart out. But when that heart's not right, there's nothing penetrating because they're repelling everything. And it's going to tell in their life. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You want to come after me? You got to deny you. You know why? Because I, Jesus, will take you away from self-deceit and from self-destruction. Give yourself up. Take up your cross. Follow me. I'm going to be there and I'll give you the help you need. Verse 25. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This is where self-deceit, this is where selling your soul enters. You want to save your life? Oh, I'm trying to do everything to preserve myself. You know what? The harder you go after things, the more you go after things away from the Lord and not listening to the Lord, you're going to end up losing your life. But if you and I would lose our life into His, you're going to find life. That's the way it works. I'm trying to preserve you. I'm trying to help you. And all the time we're giving up our souls for these different elements and these different things of the world and these different pleasures and these different recreations. We give it up. But then, boy, we'll act like it's okay. And he says, you know what? You're going to end up losing your soul in the end. Judas did. Verse 26. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you willing to sell your soul for? What do you profit if you end up on top in the eyes of the world and you lose your soul? What's it then worth? What's the value of that? You think about that. Well, what will you give in exchange for your soul? A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of money, a little bit of power? Is that what you give in exchange? Is that all you value, Jesus? I skipped out one time in my life on the Lord, and you know what I gave up for it? I threw a cow pie the farthest of anybody in the city, and I got a ribbon for it. Huh? And I could proudly say, 1976, the cow pie throwing contest, Brent Newton came in first place, threw it a block and a half. I could fling it. But you know what I gave up for that? I skipped out on my worship of my God just so I could. You know what it struck me years down the road? Jesus was worth less than a pile of dung to me. Now, what would you sell your soul for? What are you giving up for it? I can't determine that for you, nor you, I. But what we do is expressing it. So I implore and I encourage us. Don't play the game, folks. The price is too high.